Misnayomis for Friday, the 23rd day of Iyar, Tovshin Pei Dalet. Masechta Saita, Perek Shmini, Mishnah Zayin. Bamedavar Murim, when do we say that people go back from the ranks of war? Some people don't go out to war in the first place. This is B'Milchemes Horoshos. If we're talking about a war, that's an optional war, such as to expand the borders of Israel, or to collect taxes from other nations, or a king who simply wants to fight in order to increase the covet of his kingdom. Avol b'milchemes mitzvah, but when we're talking about a war that is a mitzvah, for example, conquest of the land of Canaan in the days of Yeshua, or the war against Amalek, Hakol yotzin, everybody goes out to war. Afilu chasan mechedro vechalom mechaposa, even a bridegroom from his room and the kala from her room, from her chuppah, as everyone goes out. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, b'me devarim amorim, when do we say that there are exemptions? B'mechemes mitzvah. Avol b'mechemes choiva, hakol yotzin, everyone goes out. Afilu chosen mechadre v'chalom mechapasa. Even a chosen and a kal have to go out from their wedding to fight. Now, what is Rabbi Yehuda adding here? They both seem to be saying the same thing, except that the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, call it a milchemes mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda calls it a milchemes choiva. The Gemara explains that what the Rabbanon called Rishus, optional war, Rabbi Yehuda terms it mitzvah. When what the Rabbanon called Milchemes Mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda upgrades it and calls it a Chayva. So, what is there a machlokes between the two, or is it just semantics? Is it just what we are calling it? A mitzvah war is called Melchayva according to Rabbi Yehuda and mitzvah according to the Chachamim. An optional war is called a mitzvah according to Rabbi Yehuda and called Rishus according to the Chachamim. Is it just semantics? And the Gemara says, no, it's not. Rava goes on to explain as follows in the Gemara. The war that Yeshua conducted to conquer, according to everybody, is a chayva. The war that David HaMelech did just to expand the territory when he fought to conquer the land of Aram Tzova, just to expand it and annex it to the land of Israel, and the other surrounding areas in order that they should pay taxes, according to all, that would be a reshus, an optional war. Where would they argue? They argue about a war that the Jewish people would conduct as a preemptive war to stop them coming to our land. Rabbi Yehuda calls that a milchemes mitzvah, and the Chachamim call it a milchemes reshus, an optional war. So therefore, that's where the exemptions would apply. Now, is there a difference if it's called Milchemes Mitzvah or Milchemes Rishus? And the Gemara says, yes, there is. The difference will be what will happen if a person is occupied in some other mitzvah. If one is occupied in a mitzvah, then one is potter. One is exempt from doing other mitzvahs. So if a person was in the army doing this inverted commas, optional war or mitzvah war, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because he's calling it a mitzvah war, he's exempt from other duties, from other mitzvahs. According to the Chachamim, however, that such a war would be called Milchemes or Rishus, to annex territory, for example, that because it's not called a Milchemes mitzvah, he cannot say, I'm potter from doing other mitzvahs. Perek Tishi, 9th chapter, Mishnah Aleph. This is the last chapter of Masechta Sota, and it starts off talking about the mitzvah of the Egla Arufa. What is the Egla Arufa? Literally it means the calf that has been chopped. When there is a slain body found, and no one knows who was the murderer, then the elders are told to go out, the shoftim are told to go out, and measure the distance to the nearest city. And the cities that's the closest to that body the elders of that city have to come out and take a calf that's never been worked, never drawn a yoke. And they take it down to a nachal, which some say is a brook, some say it's a valley. And they break its neck there And the Kohanim approach and they say a special prayer. They say, they bring the elders with them, and the elders give a declaration first, and they say, our hands haven't spilt this blood, and our eyes have not seen this man, and that we left him without any aid. And then the Kohanim would say, Kaper Lam Yisrael, atone for your people Israel. Our chapter here, the last chapter, is going to deal with, amongst other things, explanations of the parsha of the Egla Rufa. Says the Mishnah, Egla Rufa b'lashon HaKodesh, that which the elders declare, our hands have not spilled this blood, and that which the Kohanim declare, Kaper Lam Yisrael, atone for your people Israel, this is all said in Hebrew, has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. The Gemara explains, how do we know that? Because the parasha of Egla Rufa has in it the words, V'onu V'omru, they shall call out and say. In the parasha of the Brachos and the Klolos, which are the Har Griz and Har Evel that we've been learning until now, it says also, V'onu V'omru. It says, V'onu Halvim V'omru. The Levim shall call out loudly. And just like there it's Lashon HaKodesh, and that we know from other places, so too here, in the case of the Egla Rufa, it had to be B'Lashon HaKodesh. Basically, it's a like expression. Now, the next word in the Mishnah is a little bit misleading because it says, Shenemar, as it says. And when you look at it, you might think, well, Shenemar is now going to show how it's B'Lashon HaKodesh. But that's not the case. The Gemara explains that how we know it's B'Lashon HaKodesh is what we just said. It's a comparison to the declaration made by the Levim on Har Griz Mar Evel. The word Shenemar here is to tell us how the order of the Egla Rufa was done. How was the procedure done? Says the Mishnah, Ki imotze chalal ba'adam, when there is a slain body found in your land, in the ground, v'yotzu zekenecha v'shevtecha, your elders and your judges should go out. And how many? So the Tanna Kamma holds, Shloisha mi beis din hagadol shebirushalayim hayotzin. There were three of the highest court of the land in Yerushalayim that would go out to the place where the body was to measure the distance from the body to the nearest city. How do you know it had to be from the highest based in the land, the Beis Nagadol? Because it says, Zikeinecha. Sorry, because it says, Shoftecha, and your judges. Your judges means the special judges amongst you. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chamisha. He says, no. He says, we need five. There were not three coming out from the highest based in, from the Beis Nagadol, but rather five. How does he derive that? Shenamar, as it says, Zikenecha, your elders, and minimum of anything in plural means two, Shnaim. V'shoftecha, and your judges, again, the minimum of anything in plural would be Shnaim, two. So we've got four already, two Zikenim, two Shoftim. But because we have ain based in Shokel, because we cannot have a based in that's an even number of judges, we can never do that. Based in always have to have an odd number of judges to be able to allow for a majority, and therefore Moisifin Alehen Oidechad. Therefore we add one more judge, and therefore that's how we get to the number of five. Five are to go out and do the measurements and make the declarations that we talked about before.